Good morning and Happy New Year. Welcome to our Development and Environmental Review Committee meeting. My name is Oliver Mojica, the chair. I'm from the Community Development Department Planning Division. We'll go around for an introduction, please.
Laura Weaver, Land Development.
Fernando Patanco, Public Works Traffic.
Robert Spoller, Public Works Engineering.
Mike DeVar, San Bernardino Water.
Robert Castro, San Bernardino Water Environmental Control.
Chantal Power, Planning.
Travis Martin, Planning.
Stephen Graham, Deputy City Attorney.
Henry Empeña, Senior Deputy City Attorney.
Tracy Johnson, Public Works Integrated Waste.
Mike Samaro, Deputy City.
So I know we have quite a few people here, but kind of as a little bit of introduction. We typically we go item by item. The applicant will come up, and we'll exchange some dialogue and our conditions of approval. If you're here as an observer, or you'd like to make a comment on one of the projects, you're welcome to do so. You just need to identify yourself and state what project you'd like to speak on. The first item that we have on the agenda is pre-application 1515. Chantal, would you be kind enough to do that introduction, please?
Pre-application 1515 is a request to modify an existing conditional use permit 92-31 for an existing McDonald's restaurant to expand a currently single drive-through lane to a double drive-through lane and add a 29-square-foot cash booth to the existing building. Currently, the location is... The project is located at 100 East Redlands Boulevard in the commercial regional CR3 zone. And because this is a pre-application review, our recommendation is just for comments. There's no action required today.
Typically, for those of you that are new to this, prior to an applicant submitting a formal application for development, we request that they submit a pre-application to kind of get some initial feedback from the various departments so that when they submit their formal submittal, it addresses a lot of the comments or concerns that the various departments may have so we can get closer to a complete application and get it moving through the process. So did you have any comments as it related to the project or recommendations or thoughts on this, Chantal?
I don't have any comments currently other than they will have to submit for a minor use permit and an additional variance because they're decreasing the setback even further from the original conditional use permit.
Is the applicant here?
Yes.
Would you mind?
Sure.
If you could introduce yourself, please.
Hi, I'm Bob Supernaut with Stantec Architecture, representing McDonald's.
Welcome. Laura, do you want to start off with that?
Okay. Looking at the site, the original site, the interior circulation is very difficult right now. And it looks like you're going to go ahead and remove the signage off the second ingress egress, and you're going to go ahead and bring everything up to the first portion. My issue that I have with that is with the increased stacking that you have with the McDonald's and on the two lanes, the overflow will have an impact on the traffic that's on Redlands Boulevard. We are creatures of habit, and many of us will go to the second drive-through and come through to go into the drive-through on McDonald's, and that'll cause a further circulation difficulty on site. So I have issues with that. And then also what I would like when you do submit, if you decide to move forward with this, I would like to have a turning radius for the SUVs that come in. It seems as it is right now, the way this, the turning radius is pretty tight. And for you to increase that, I think there's a problematic on the clipping of some cars hitting the building. And that's what my concern is. So when you want to meet or move forward, meet with traffic and with land development.
Okay. Thank you. Fernando?
Yeah, if you have any questions with regards to traffic, you can contact me.
Okay.
Gary, was there anything that you wanted to add? Robert?
No, I'm just on this one.
Michael?
The site's currently being served with water by the department. Rule 5 application, if you want to increase your service size or type, and sewer capacity would be evaluated if you increase the building square footage.
Okay.
Other than that, just standard requirements.
Okay. We currently have that business permitted discharge to the sewer. It looks like some of your proposed modifications are on top of the existing pretreatment equipment as a grease trap in the bushes along Redland Boulevard. Will this change any of that, the location of the grease interceptor?
No.
It won't have any impact on that? Mm-hmm. Okay. No further questions.
The site currently has the refuse enclosure. As far as service is concerned, it's perfect. But you will want to work with land development to see if it needs to be modified to meet ADA access.
Okay.
Thank you.
Michael? I think we can previously revisit this project here.
No, this is a pre-application.
Okay. So, similar to one, two of them. What I'm trying to do is that when in the time submittal, we're going to be probably getting clearance to 13. Look at Chapter 11, WADA requirements, especially in a business like McDonald's, the path to trial leading to the front door and the public restrooms. Make sure that they comply with Chapter 11B. All right, diagrams are in the chapter. When design speed, I want you to take notes of that. Above the borderline is the 210 freeway. Above the freeway is 120.6. Below is 110. So keep that in mind. I'm designing.
Okay.
I have this here for you. And if there's any comments, please go contact the department.
Okay, thank you.
Do you have any questions?
No, this was everything that I expected. So we'll come back, we'll make sure that we've addressed this, and we'll file the additional applications necessary for the variance and the exception there. So I think we're good.
We look forward to the application, and of course, we're available at any time prior to that if you need any guidance or direction as to what else you might need or information.
Okay.
Certainly the other departments are available to ask answer specific questions.
Great.
I hope okay. such.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
I'm Bob Supernov.
This item does not require a action, so just for discussion.
There's two.
Is there two in here?
Oh, give me
thank you.
Okay. So with that, thank you very much.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome. Next item is a development permit type D, 1509. Travis, you'd be kind enough to make the introduction to the applicant here?
Yes, I'm not sure.
I'm not
well, let me check outside.
Seeing them. I know there we do have some people outside. Ah, there he is, right there.
We're up.
Come on in.
Where's the hot seat?
Up there in the front.
We're a little short on seats in here. So. All right, our second item today, it's development permit type D, 1509. It's a request to allow the development and operation of an industrial warehouse facility, approximately 154,000 square feet in size. It's going to be located at the corner of Central Avenue and Valley View Avenue. We previously looked at this application as a pre-app beginning or early 2015, so almost a year ago. Nothing fundamentally has changed in this. Minor landscaping improvements or additional improvements,
minor alterations to the exterior of the building, but footprint is overall the same and placement on the site. It's about little under 8 acres right now, so it is subject to CEQA. We have prepared we had an initial study prepared that we reviewed, and from that, we are proposing a mitigated negative declaration for this project. Our recommendation today is simply to adopt the mitigated negative declaration, and approve development permit type D1509, subject to the conditions of approval.
Thank you. Laura?
You came under the pre-application 1502, and I gave you the conditions. Not too much has changed. I know that Public Works would like to talk to you about the entrance on Valley View. It's too close to the VCR. So here we'll go ahead and talk to you in regards to that. And those are my final conditions. And you did submit a traffic study, correct? Okay, so all those mitigation measures that are recommended in that traffic study are going to, I'm going to condition you to follow those mitigation measures on that, so for your project. Okay?
Thank you. Gary? Fernando? Robert?
Chair mentioned that the Public Works had issues on it. Your plan indicated a fire entrance right there at the corner of Valley View. We'd like to know how you're planning on securing that so that the public is not allowed to use that. Since you're at a corner, now you're also talking about planning issues with site visibility along with traffic. So that was a question that we were looking at, to see how you're planning on securing that so the public does not have the ability to use that.
Well, I think our intent was to provide a chain with a top lock for the fire department access. The requirement for a hammerhead at the end of that driveway to provide a roundabout for the access at the end of that parking lot was a congestion point for what we saw as being the fire department, and thought that having a drive-through onto Valley View would have been the easiest way for the fire department to egress the site in terms of an emergency. It would be kind of a landscaped kind of entryway with some like cobblestones at least accessing, so there wouldn't be a quote driveway there that the public could tend to use or access from. So it'd be kind of just kind of hiding it, as well as providing a locked chain that would prevent access in through into the parking lot.
I'm not sure if planning allows the chain going across anymore or not. It's something that we would have to need to look at, but that was my concern, is we do not want the public, at least at that close up to the intersection, having that issue.
Yeah, what we've done in other similar situations is provide turf block and grass and a rolled curb as opposed to a drive approach that the fire departments use. It's designed for the loading of their trucks, but it does not appear as though it's an accessible entrance to the public.
Okay. That's all we're going to review, just to make sure on that portion of it. All the other stuff is curb gutter sidewalk, which you seem to already have with street improvements. The only other portion would be the driveways. Our standards are different from what you're showing, so that's something we'll have to speak with on that. The width, I don't have a problem. It's just it's not per the city standard at this point. But that's all I have.
Thank you. Michael?
We provided, the water department provided comments in April of last year. It's still a lot merger is required. A rule 5 for new services, domestic irrigation water, fire hydrants, whatever is required. And
yeah, just to clarify, that lot merger was already performed on this site, so it is more contiguous.
Perfect. Okay. And we can serve the entire lot as a whole now.
And there is an existing domestic service that was at the northeast corner of the site.
It looks like a residence there.
Correct.
Right.
There was like a 3/4-inch domestic service that came to the building.
And so if you want that abandoned and credited towards the size you want, that'll also be on a Rule 5 application request. That one be abandoned, and the sizes you require, domestic irrigation, fire hydrants if you require. And then a set of approved building plans for the will sent to the department, a set of city approved building plans. That way we can calculate your sewer capacity.
When the project was last reviewed, I believe I was told you didn't have a tenant at that time. Do you have a tenant now?
No.
So it's still spec building, just a shell? Okay. Previously, you were handed a permit application. I'm also going to hand you industrial plan check procedures for the environmental control. Application is still required for this phase of the project. And if a tenant does, if you do decide on a tenant to assemble along the project, they will also have to complete the second application. But this application is just for the construction of it, stating that there's no process, there will be no discharge at this time. Are you just going to stub up to the building?
At this point, we haven't decided. What we may do is provide a small speculative office in there of approximately 2,000 feet. It would not have any industrial waste. It would just be...
Okay, so you're not going to set up any scrubber-type dumps or anything like that in the main area? Okay.
So basically, we fill out that application, and it's not applicable or no service.
Yes, it's going to ask you if there's any discharge questions along those lines. This is a separate submittal from the city. This needs to go to the water department. This needs to come back to us. And our information is right there on the application. That's it. Thank you. Tracy?
The two proposed compactor locations are acceptable. I have attached standard number 510 for the railings for the compactors. We'll need access by means of a gate key, remote, or code, since it'll be gated, and then they just need to keep in mind AB341 mandatory commercial recycling.
Yes, in a building of this magnitude, I want you to take an inspection out that City of San Bernardino enforces the green code extensively. You want to get into it. In the commercial industrial section of the green code, it talks about commissioning. All right, I don't know if you're going to be providing the ventilation systems, air conditioning system for the client or anything, but please take into account that section. Also, remember that there are two submittals, the building department and the fire department. They're separate submittals. We work hand in hand. But please remember, and a lot of clients get us note that one, they're separate submittals. And hopefully, you've already contacted the fire department with their requirements. Remember that the location of hydrants is very important for your building and the success of it. Understand that the city takes a lot of pride in Chapter 11B, and that's ADA, and we look at that very extensively in plan check. So please do it accordingly to Chapter 11B of California Building Code. That's about it. And everything else, I touched on the smoke protection in Chapter 7 of the California Building Code. I wrote it down for you guys to refer to them, and feel free to contact me if there's any problems. Thank you.
Robert, you had an additional comment?
Just a question. The storm drain and the storm issues, I believe development's going to be questioning that, but is this a part of the IVDA area that you'll be working with that portion of it, or? So you're not sure on that one?
I don't believe so.
Okay. We may, in our office, we may need to look at that just to make sure we're not overstepping somebody else's jurisdiction of that.
One second. Do you have any comments? Do you have any questions of the departments?
Hi, how you doing? My name is Steve Mitchell, residence.
Wait,
no problem. Go ahead.
Do you have any questions for any
questions
department?
About anything that was mentioned?
So the only question I had is the conditions of approval.
Mm-hmm.
Are they going to be what was just handed to us, or? Are you going
I do have the conditions for fire as well, which haven't changed from the pre-app. So if you still have those, you know, have an idea of what they're going to be. It's those and then standard requirements for planning as well.
Yeah, we just like the opportunity to review the conditions of approval to make sure we're in agreement with everything that's on there. We've reviewed the draft that's there.
So if there are, we have an opportunity to look at the conditions of draft.
Mm-hmm.
If you have comments that, depending on the substance of them,
we could
arrange a meeting with the appropriate department.
Okay.
If they are significant or substantial, the development of the project, it may or may not require to come back.
That's what I was trying to avoid. I'll take a look at them
early next week.
Okay.
And let us know if you have any significant concerns.
Okay.
Any other questions for
No, I think I'm good.
I think we're good.
Sir, you had a question about this project?
Right.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Okay, so go over here. Where do you want me to go?
That's fine.
Oh, okay. Hey, guys. Thank you for coming to Bell, where we live, first of all.
Excuse me. Can you state your name?
Steve Mitchell, resident 661 South Valley View Avenue. Longtime resident San Bernardino. I'm here on behalf of my family. I have a kid that has asthma. As you can see, I just had a surgery, so I'm going to be off for a while so I can be pretty nosy. I just want to know about the dirt, the mice. I had no idea we can be reimbursed or whatever, be taken care of, you know, because obviously you see where we live. It's not too, but I do appreciate the building going up, but that is my concern as far as the dirt, the mice. Obviously, you don't have a tenant yet, so you don't know the time. So, of the schedule, what type of, is it Monday through Friday, is it going to be a 24-hour facility? Because I know I like to sleep.
So, yeah, so we don't have a tenant, so we don't have information on operating hours of the facility itself. If your question or concern was related to construction and land disturbance, so not only is that something you're concerned about, but it's something that AQMD and other jurisdictions are. So they have requirements for dust control. You know, the contractor will be required to have a water truck out there, implement erosion control measures and that kind of stuff. I would love to tell you, I don't know how many mice are in that field. I would love to tell you that they'll all stay there, but obviously when you first disturb the earth, they do typically look to get out of there. So we can take a look at that at least and see if
take
there's
a good look. Yeah, because the house next to me, they just abandoned it. Well, they got the people out of it. Of course, what was there came over the mine.
Sure.
So I already know about that. I already know once you do it, it's going to happen.
But yeah.
My concern is, what are you going to do for me that's there? Are you going to provide, like, Terminex or some? Is somebody going to come to my door, or am I going to see you doing dirt and then go over there and have to go from there?
Yeah, I think you'd have to reach out to us and contact us if there's a problem.
Well, first of all, my name is Mike Sabal. I'm the assistant building official for the city. Anytime when you have problems, we would like you to contact us. If you have a concern or anything, here's one of my forms that I gave you for the condition, my contact information. But feel free to contact us. If you feel that there is not adequate dust control, then we assure you that we will look into it. Anytime you call us.
If you need proof, then my kid has asthma.
No. We're not even questioning that. We're here to accommodate you and any concern, but to work as a group, and we'll work together to prevent that.
Oh, yeah, I'm looking forward. Keep building.
Yes, and you stated one thing that was very positive. You're glad the building's going in.
Oh, yeah, I'm not.
In the beginning, and which is very positive. So we know that, but we're also going to try to keep that positive attitude in the completion of this building. So feel free to call me, all right?
Thank you,
sir.
You guys have something that
you
can get a hold of you with?
Yeah, I can
get
your car.
And one of the things we'll do when we get ready to start work out there, we will have the superintendent walk in and give his contact information to
you. Yeah, no problem. Thank you, guys. Thank you for your time.
Thank you.
Anyone else have comments, questions?
Thank you again, guys.
Have a good day. Recommendation for this item from the Planning Division is that we adopt a mitigated declaration and approved development permit type D 1509, subject to the recommended conditions of the approval by the different departments. Entertain a motion to approve that, please.
Second.
Thank you. Any opposition? Congratulations.
Thank you.
Anyone here for Mary's Mercy Center? No? So no one's here for Mary for item number three, which involves Development Code Amendment 1501, Subdivision 1502, and Conditional Use Permit 1509, is a request to establish a zone change at an immense residential complex. It's going to be my recommendation that we continue this item to the next DRC meeting since the applicant is not here. When's that date, Stephanie?
28th.
So January 28th, so we'll be continuing to that. Okay, may I get a motion for that?
Second.
Thank you. Next item is Conditional Use Permit 1512. Travis, would you be kind enough for the introduction and get our applicants up here?
It's a come on up to the desk here. All right, application item number four today. It's an application for Conditional Use Permit 1512. It's a request to allow the development and operation of a approximately 2,900 square foot restaurant with drive-thru. The subject site is approximately 3/4 of an acre. It's set at the corner of Brewer Street and Tippecanoe Avenue. It's currently undeveloped. And we are looking at this part of the development, as I said, restaurant with drive-thru, all the on-site landscaping, parking, off-site improvements. There are some improvements that we have to do to the street there that we've already discussed. And this project, our environmental determination on it is that it will be categorically exempt as an infill project. Let's see. And our recommendation today, we're hoping to move this to Planning Commission in February. I don't have a date exactly on that. 17th of February. That's the intention. And
thank you.
That is it.
Michael, would you like to start us off since you've been looking eager?
Oh, yes. as you know, Oliver and I have been working hand-in-hand on this project and have come up with a couple of suggestions for you. And at the end, you've probably heard it already, I gave you some sections there that I want you to look at and actually in a project this magnitude, you're going to look at the California Greek code, and you're going to look at the BOC form, which I know that you're very familiar with and everything. But a lot of jurisdictions do not readily enforce the green code. San Diego does, but mandated by state law to do the company. So I want you to understand that. Also look at Chapter 4 for special requirements for your restaurants and everything. If there are, if they would be in Chapter 4 with occupancy, and also realize that, as I stated before, I don't know if you ever heard this, but fire submittal is different from building submittal. There are two separate submittals. You're going to have to go to both departments and submit. We work planning and we inform each other of the process, but separate submittals are required. Also look at your Chapter 7 for the smoke protection, fire smoke protection. That's where you'll be looking into your hood, which is a fire issue, and occupant loads, okay? And that's about it for us. And feel free to call us if you have any kind of building issues or anything. My information is about the point. We're looking forward to it. Thank you.
Thank you.
Gracie?
So the refuse enclosure location is acceptable. You'll be constructing a standard plan 508 8x15 enclosure. I've attached the standard for you. You'll want to work with land development to modify the enclosure to meet ADA access. And keep in mind, Assembly Bill 341 mandatory commercial recycling.
Thank you. Robert?
No, it looks like you have all those dreams.
We got the other one. You're out of turn here.
All right.
But we're this way.
There's always someone in class that's not paid attention.
It was taking a dramatic pause.
Did you build up one?
Okay, I'm going to hand you a copy of our plan check procedures. Basically, it starts out with meeting here, presenting the project, but most importantly for us is the completion of a food service permit application. This will help us determine any pretreatment requirements for the restaurant, such as grease interceptors, things like that nature. So that's very important to get back to us as soon as possible. It is a separate submittal than the city, than fire, so this has to be returned to the water department. And again, our plan check procedures are listed here. This is only the first step in our process. We may require plans, additional documents, additional information.
Okay.
That's it.
Can I make one comment, Robert?
Yes.
That the city's ordinance override the building code, so look at the water separator, grease trap, the size, and please feel free to contact Robert on that item because it's a learning process.
Michael?
Looks like there's a residence currently on this site. We do serve that building, water and sewer. So, if you pull a demo permit, it would be nice to receive a copy of that, so we have the size to help us calculate the sewer capacity fee. Because the sewer capacity fee for the new facility, you'll receive credit from the building you tear down. Same with new service. When you request a new service, you can also request this one, the service for the residents be abandoned, and you'll receive a water acquisition credit towards your new service. Other than that, standard requirements.
Okay, Robert.
Now I can go?
Make it good.
It looks like you had covered the majority of the street improvements. Again, I'm going to make sure that the driveways that you're using are actually city standard driveways. Traffic may have a concern, in which case then it may alter some of the street improvements that you're working on, but if you're following the same format that you've been using, I don't seem to have an issue with that portion of it. That's pretty much all I have for that.
Thank you.
Yeah, we've submitted a traffic impact analysis, and we've provided comments, and in the response to those comments, you indicated that the existing traffic signals at the corner, the southeast corner, can remain at their current location. We will determine that when we see the final plans. So plus the requirement for modification of operation. You noted here that it's noted, so all those things we'll tackle when you submit the final phase. Because we're going to make the protected permissive movement to protected only, and add left turn lanes for the east for the west direction, and through lane for the east direction.
Okay, I'm going to go ahead and look at the design initially. I need to have a path of travel for the public right-of-way delineated. I have a small plan, so I couldn't see that. Also, on your van accessible, it needs to be switched. It needs to be on the left side. So just go ahead and modify your drawing accordingly. And then on Gould Street, I'm going to go ahead and have that street rehabilitated to center line, and that street has pretty much failed. So I want to go ahead and take an R value and look at the traffic index since we are improving that street. I'm also going to go ahead and condition you to improve the cross gutter to the spandrel that's at the left corner, the northeasterly corner, up to that spandrel joint, since you are going to go ahead and do some improvements. On Tippecanoe, I just want to go ahead and just do a minor grinded overlay with the striping. And of course,
half width,
yes, of course. Now, with gold, I want to go ahead and have you do curb gutter sidewalk, which is standard. All your utilities on gold will have to be undergrounded. I think you're good on street lights, and you already showed that the radius is 35 foot, so that's good. My concern is I want to make sure what's usually on the plans and what's out there in real life is another situation. So we want to go ahead and make sure all the signal is move back and is in place. And also, I also positioned you that all of the loop detectors, benchmarks, and line ties have to be replaced on that. So that is one. Those are a couple of concerns. Let me see. You already gave me the W2MP. That was preliminary. Go ahead and submit your final when you do your final plan check. And since I wasn't sure whether you're going to put freestanding lighting at the restaurant. Are you going to be using those?
Yes.
Okay. Make sure, I just need a photometric.
Right.
Make sure it's zero at the PL. So you do have residents accordingly. Are you going to go ahead and put a block wall?
Yes.
There'll be block walls
around. Along the east and south.
And just make sure that you there is some articulation of the block wall every 100 feet. That's in our development code. Okay, and that's pretty much it.
Thank you. Do you have any questions for any of the department representatives?
I have a question. What type of restaurant is it? Is there similar in the city already, or?
Right now, we're not sure.
Okay. No.
Okay, this, Travis, anything to add? No?
No, I think that covers most of it.
Where our planning division is recommending that this item be moved to the planning commission with conditions of approval for the recommendation. May I entertain a motion, please?
So moved.
Second.
Unless there's any opposition, congratulations. We'll move forward to the planning commission meeting.
Oh, my God.
Just
the water. I had those already. Okay. February 17th. We'll start getting all this together.
We were allowing it.
I don't think anything else is going to change.
That's a major
plan development.
Conditions are what you want to look at.
Yeah.
Travis is next group here?
We do, yes.
Could you join us at the table, please?
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you, guys. You guys have any plans
to get out of the new building was 28.
Next item, item number 5 is a conditional use permit 1516. Travis, would you provide the introduction, please?
All right. As you said, item CP 1516. It's a request to allow the addition of one modular building. It doesn't note it in the heading, but it's about 2,800 square feet in size to be used to expand an existing preschool facility at the church located at that site. Address is 6245 North Palm Avenue. It's located at the intersection of Palm and Irvington. As we said, existing school facility with one modular in place. They'd like to add another one to increase capacity for the facility. We have already discussed there will be additional site improvements that will have to be done for access onto the site and a little bit with circulation. And one comment I do want to make, because I believe it will impact a couple of you. We've already received conditions from fire, and they had the concern that adding the modular, combining it with the existing one that pushes them over 5,000, so they would require sprinklering. And we're now, we've discussed that with the applicant, and we're now looking at doing the standard 10-foot separation on them, making them independent structures so that the sprinkling would not be required. But that's not shown on the plans yet. That was a very recent change. And our recommendation on this one, we're bringing it forward. Oh, sorry, I forgot one other thing. It is existing facility, so we are proposing a categorical exemption 15301 for the site. And we're bringing this forward today just for a preliminary look at the application. We're not proposing any action, just to kind of get a feel on the improvements that will be required. Then we will bring this back, hopefully at the next meeting, to take to Planning Commission in the following month.
So it's the intent to ensure that we have enough, that the individual departments have enough information with what has been submitted, so that they can make their appropriate conditions of approval. And so maybe if you could weigh in on that as we go around the table, then we could, you know, proceed accordingly. And so we'd take it to the meeting on the 28th. Is that what we're?
That's the intention. Yes. If there's nothing, as long as we have everything that can be resolved in that time period.
Henry, may I ask a point of order? If we happen to go around the table and the application is acceptable and everyone has the conditions of approval and appropriate, are we able to entertain a motion to move it to the Planning Commission, or because it was not advertised that way, or what is your opinion on that?
We'd appreciate that if that's possible.
The Brown Act, the state law, requires that the subject matter be placed on your agenda so that the public knows what item is going to be discussed. In terms of the actual action, should have been stated for discussion and action. Here you had specifically mentioned that it's only preliminary review, no action required. So I think for the benefit of the public, who may have seen the agenda, you should be bound to only that action that's here.
Okay.
In case we're anticipating coming back to another ERC meeting. If your agenda had stated discussion of possible action without actually saying that no action required, then I think that you might have that latitude to do that.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, we had talked about the possibility of taking here and getting approved to go to Planning Commission this month. That was my understanding from our meeting that we had in December. So
part of our review is that I wanted to make sure that the individual departments, and I'm not sure yet because we haven't gone around the table, whether or not people believe that there's a level of information, level of detail, so they can make those appropriate conditions.
Okay.
You know, kind of thing. So, I mean, I apologize for that. I think we're going to the next meeting in a couple of weeks, but we're still targeting the same.
The February Planning Commission date it remains fixed.
Yes, it's not going to change the Planning Commission date. You're still on that February. You still would be on that February date. Laura, would you like to start us off?
Okay, I'm
going to
go ahead and start interior-wise.
Yes.
The way the handicap parking is depicted on the plans that I saw, it looks like the individual who's in the parking stall will have to walk behind the cars, and that is not compliant. So I need that compliant.
Okay, I'm trying to understand what you're saying.
Okay, the parking stalls, the handicap parking stalls that are depicted in your plans. They show that the individual who's in the parking stall will have to walk behind the other parking stalls to enter the entrance of the church. So that needs to be compliant.
Okay.
Those plans need to be redrawn.
Yes.
Also, I need a path of travel from Palm Avenue.
Yes.
Yes.
To the east facility, so that needs to be mitigated. Also,
wouldn't you condition that?
I am going to condition that.
Okay.
So what I did is I gave you a preliminary conditions,
okay.
And it's let me see. I gave you four pages of conditions, so you can go over those. On Irvington, since your initial building is 2,400 square feet, you have increased the size. Their modular is going to be 2,880. That is going to require basically for you to improve Irvington to centerline. So I'm going to need a minor grind and overlay with striping. And since it is an increase in an intensification of the school, I need for you to get in touch with the traffic division and put it, see what you can do with the school signs that is in that area. I'm not asking you to do any improvements on Palm. That is fine. But on Irvington, I need you to close the driveway approach on there because it looks like you're gaining access off of Irvington from a dirt path onto the school site.
Yes,
and,
we discussed
that. That is not acceptable. Okay? So, let me see. And also, you're located in the Vertimont area,
yes,
which has a higher impact fee. So, get in touch with me so I can go ahead and run you a calculation, a draft of what you're going to expect to pay. You can talk with me or Lane Quaid. He's right over there, and you can work with him on that.
Okay. You can give me that information. So that's very important to find out what those impact fees are.
Right. Okay. And that's and also for traffic, just go ahead and submit a scoping application. So, and he's there for any questions that you have. Okay. I'll go ahead and give you those.
Are we going to have the traffic person speak
yes.
for a minute?
Yeah, we're going to speak right now.
Get started. Perfect. Okay.
Unless I mix it up. Anyway, Gary?
Thank you. Thank
you. Fernando?
Yes, we'll need a scoping for this project. I'm sure I gave you the form the last time, but here it is again. Just fill out the form. To see,
this is our first time here, so
to what extent the traffic impact study that needs to be performed.
Now, I mean, for such a small increase, I mean, is it really required? Because I had originally checked on that, and we were told there wouldn't be a traffic impact study. When this was months ago, we sent an email up, and they said there would not be one required because the size of this impact was so small. And so is there a change now? Because I have an email that says there wasn't one. So.
Well, this form will determine that. If you fill this out, it will determine to what extent the traffic impact study needs to be done. Because we have thresholds that we...
I just had checked this originally, several months ago with an email. I'm not sure if it was to you or who it was, but I got back. You had, Travis had said to check into that.
Yeah.
And we did. And it came back and I CC'd you on it, and it was said there would not be one.
There may have been. I mean, we've had staffing changes over. We need to just review it again. It's been several months, so doing that form is not necessarily saying one will be required. It's just verifying whether we do need
so
one
we'll
or
complete
not.
This and discuss yes. it with you and find out further.
Yes. And nothing of it says right now that we will have to do one. It's just we have to do the work and verify.
This is part of the procedure.
Robert?
The majority of the street improvements that Laura had indicated what I was looking at, just in addition is that we actually walked the locations of each of the streets on Palm and Irvington for ADA access. I happened to be driving by. I didn't get down and measure it. We want to make sure that we have the ADA clearance around any obstacles that might be in there, signs, street lights, whatever. We just want to make sure that we have the ADA clearance around those locations. She also mentioned about the driveway. You are planning on removing that driveway on Irvington?
Yes. We're closing off, right?
You're closing off the one that has the gravel. Yeah, we're going to close that off and change it to curb and gutter. It's part of it.
If not, then there was going to be a couple other things. We have to change it so that it doesn't meet ADA. But since you're closing it, the only other thing, I think there might be a location that's deteriorating. We'd like to have that repaired so that we have a clear ADA location. I'm not sure. I think it was more towards the very end. It may not even be on your property. Again, this was a quick drive-by as I was doing something else. I just haven't been looking over. But that's what we're looking for, is to make sure any type of deteriorating sidewalk or anything that may cause problems for path of travel on public property is what we're going to be looking for updating or at least improving for those locations. Other than that, everything's pretty much there for you. I don't have any other issues.
Right, cool. So when do you think you might be able to get back to us and let us know what, if there is anything we have to be concerned about?
Are we going to be meeting again?
Yes.
Are they going to start getting the information out? Definitely before then, but at least at that point. But that is going to be very minor in comparison to some of the other items. But I'll be working with Hernando, so probably at the same time as you're working with the traffic, you can ask the same questions over again. We have gone out there and measured.
I guess we were mentioning that you guys are going to have us do some grinding out into the street and that?
On Irvington, yes.
And so what length of the are we talking about here?
According to
how far out into the street?
It's two center line. According to our development code 19.2, you have met the threshold, and 19.2 states that street improvements will be required to center line along your frontage.
So what is it that what made us pass that?
The size of your modular.
And so what would have kept it under that?
2,500 or less.
So that made us move into, so if we kept this under 2,500, then we wouldn't have to do that and probably cut down a lot.
For the street, but you will need to address all the ADA issues. You need to be compliant on the accessibility.
Okay, we need the ADA path of travel.
Sure that the existing, I'm not sure whether your existing driver approach is ADA compliant, so that has to be compliant.
Was that
path of travel? Yes, it's in your conditions.
Was that where you told us right here?
Yeah, that's going to, the existing approach off Palm is going to have to be widened already to mm-hmm. widen the entire drive aisle so that can be.
So you're just going to go follow our standard 204 type 2. And so from the Palm Street, that will be modified. Your path of travel to the church and the school modular will have to have an accessible path.
So what we're going to do is going to add an accessible path, and we're also going to just increase the driveway. Width from 21 feet to 24 feet.
Right.
But just add those extra 3 feet. And then we'll put that in place. So, I mean, that'll take care of that. Mm-hmm. I mean, we just pave that with additional asphalt, additional 3 feet.
On-site or?
On-site.
On-site.
Okay, on-site, you also have to make sure that your cross flow does not exceed 2%. So you have to have the survey elevation to make sure that everything is compliant. That's what we require.
Well, even with the driveway? I know for the walking
for path
of travel.
Yes, you'll have to.
Okay, but
do
for
that.
The driveway, it doesn't have to be 2%, does it?
No, it doesn't.
Okay, that's something. Yeah, I know the
but
the
also
walk.
Your handicap stalls have to be 2% also.
I think they're pretty flat. We just got to make sure they don't walk behind.
We just need to make sure we take a smart level and make sure they're fine.
Now, as far as these ADA, basically we've got to make it so they can go directly in onto the sidewalk without going behind another car?
Yes. They could do on one of them into the path. If it's their own car, they could do that, but they cannot go behind other cars.
They can go behind their own car, but not
right.
another car.
So when you come back and you do a revision to your drawings, we'll look at it, we'll work with you, and make sure that...
And if I'd like to, could I contact you directly
yes.
to ask you questions? So I'd like to get the information of all of you so I could, you can get that to me. Yeah, email addresses and phone
that.
Numbers, I'd
and
appreciate
Travis
that.
I can pass that along.
Yeah, they are in Chapter 11B.
All diagrams of the parking stalls are in Chapter 11B of the California Building Code 2013.
And I happen to have it.
Yeah, well, you are awesome. Thank you.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Robert, is that it for you?
Yes, I'm sorry. Yes.
Michael?
Ours is pretty simple. We currently serve the site. So unless you're asking to increase the size of fire hydrants or additional heights of services, that would be a Rule 5. And sewer capacity will be required for the modular, so we need to see the size of the modular.
Septic.
We're on septic.
We're on septic there.
Done.
Done, so we don't need to worry about that then?
Changes depending on...
Not done.
Yeah. Laura.
Not done, no.
Usually... We usually don't allow it.
Don't allow what? I'm sorry. It's already on septic. How do we?
You're intensifying the use.
I'm sorry?
You're intensifying the use.
Uh-huh.
So you're approved under certain conditions at that time. Now that you are intensifying the modular, we'll have to get with you later on that.
give us an idea what that means. This is a pretty big, if you're saying we got to hook to the main line in the street with the sewer.
We might not move forward on it, because initially when you were approved for that type of use, you were on septic. Now that you're intensifying it, with you're doubling the size of your school, you know, we'll have you, we have to research how far the sewer line is.
Yes, we will, 200 feet.
200 feet,
200 feet,
yeah.
If you have to hook up to it.
Yeah.
What do you mean, minimum? What do you mean,
if you have a sewer line within 200 feet of your facility, then you're going to have to hook up to the sewer.
Do you have any idea where the sewer lines are?
Those streets.
Irvington.
We have streets.
So are we within 200 feet? Then it looks like, are we
your
within?
Your property's within 200 feet. The only way you can possibly get it to get it waived is to identify the elevation of your building to the elevation of the sewer main. That might allow
it's
a
lower,
waiver.
Isn't it?
It's possible.
That's
something that you have to show to us.
But that would mean you need a pump, so that way we could get a.
That's a possibility.
Allow an exception.
What?
Building code doesn't allow. Exception.
The old uniform building code stated that it's up to the provider of the sewer to allow for certain situations. And again, I don't know because I'm talking about residential, so this might be a different issue.
It's different.
Okay,
so what does that mean?
Okay, so we'd have to look into it, and you would have to first of all. What we're talking about, what Laura was talking about, is that you have a set usage on your septic, okay? That means the size of it, okay? All septic systems have to have 100% room for expansion. So if your system fails, you're able to put a septic system somewhere else on your property 100%, all right? It may be advisable to look into hooking up to the sewer to continue your process. All right, I was unaware of that because your plan did not say that. Your plan shows two units together. All right, and I thank you for taking my suggestion of splitting them. All right, because I didn't want to require sprinklers. All right? So thank you, but. Here we have to look at the situation, go on site, and do some measuring like Robert said. We're going to do that, all right? We're going to have to look at all the issues now.
Well, we have lots of land here, so if we want to take the requirement of actually putting in a larger septic system, could we do that rather than connecting the sewer, which is very expensive in this case, plus a pump?
If the code allows you, okay, and that's what we're going to look at.
So you can look at that?
Yes.
Okay. Because that's what we'd like to do rather than put a pump in there, because we have to have a pump, we're going to have a line, it's going to be very expensive and operationally expensive.
Yeah, and that's what we're going to look at. We're going to look at your interest by all means.
Robert?
Well, no, wait a minute.
Oh, you're not.
So
now you have something else to say.
I just want to clarify, the collection system belongs to the city. My fee is for the treatment plant facility. And so if you're currently on septic and you go to sewer, you connect to the collection system, we're not going to be evaluating the single mobile you're adding, we're going to be evaluating the entire facility. So I just wanted to clarify.
The church building as well as both precincts.
Everything on site that's going to be.
Even if we kept serving what's there on septic and only serve, I mean, I'm just trying to understand theoretically. Even if all we did was serve the additional building on septic, you would still charge the fee for all of it.
Correct.
Even if we didn't have the capacity put in for that. Or you would require us, would you require us to put in the capacity for the whole system?
That is not my requirement. My requirement is based on the ability to discharge to the plant, and the ability would be the entire facility.
So my question.
And again, my fee is not considered.
It's hard to come up with recommendations or what decisions are if we don't have, you know, the appropriate documents, the plans, or what have you. And so that was kind of the intent of this meeting, is so we can get some feedback. Now we have our homework to do, you know, meet with the various departments on how you're going to be able
to
satisfy.
Well, just clarity for me. If you don't, we would, number one, like to go with a larger septic. But if we can't, and we had to go with the sewer system, you would require us to put capacity in for the entire facility. Is that what I would understand?
Yes.
So we would have no choice but to be able to connect the whole facility and the appropriate, you know, pump and
well,
size of pipe.
It cannot be half and half.
Okay, I'm just getting clarity.
Yes.
I want you to tell me that rather than me assume.
Okay.
this one is for planning.
What is
my contact information on that?
What is the proposed use for the building?
It's just to increase the number of students that we can provide care for.
Is it just classrooms? What are the kitchens, restrooms?
Nope. There's going to be four restrooms and four classrooms.
Okay. Since this is just a preliminary review, all I'm going to hand you is our plan check procedures.
Okay.
If you remain on septic, it changes things. So we'll just have to review the project.
So this is for sewer, though?
Yes.
So I guess you'll let us know if we're going to be required in sewer.
We'll have to okay. We'll have to look into it with the other departments first. We'll be in touch.
We're a poor church, guys. Help us out. Okay, we'll keep working.
So the site is lacking a refuse enclosure.
A what?
Refuse
trash
enclosure.
Okay.
Your trash bin is out in the parking lot.
It's in the dirt.
Yeah. So you'll need to submit a proposed refuse enclosure location for our review and approval. You'll be constructing a standard plan 508, which I've attached to your comments there, for an 8x15 refuse enclosure.
Okay.
You'll want to work with land development to modify that enclosure to meet ADA access. And keep in mind Assembly Bill 341 mandatory commercial recycling.
I heard you mention that earlier, and I have a question. I hope you understand that I know nothing about what you guys do. I know my church and I know my kids. That's what I know. So our church does recycling, and we take it and we try to benefit off that money to use for our outreach program. Does that meet your requirement? Or are we supposed to do something different? Because I don't know what you're talking about, and I need clarification, please.
This recycling would be like for your paper, cardboard.
We
things like that, not
everything. We are that broke.
Yeah, the I'm sure the recycling you do for money would be like your cans and plastic.
Oh, we do it all. We're really
so you're getting
broke.
Money for your paper.
So
out of the church, yes.
So you're going to be requiring that they build this
8x15, yes.
You guys are scaring me to death. I just want you guys to know.
There's a block wall enclosure.
Well, it seems like we got a question and answer period here, so I'm going to give you my answer. In order to give you your answer, I'm going to be in a little bit more detail on your plans. Your plans show two modulars together, all right? And when you got introduced, the modulars are now separated by the request of the fire department, which I also requested and suggested to save you costs. Now that we brought into the subject matter of the septic tank, all right, we're going to need locational hookups, okay? Where is the septic tank location? What's the volume of the septic tank? And then we will proceed, okay? At this time, it's a question-answer, and, you know, we're only as good as the drawing that you submit.
Right.
All right? And I know you're a poor church and everything, but just put an eraser in between the two modules.
We can redo it. It's fine.
And so that's what we need to do, separate them. Okay. They're shown together. The reason why I suggested the separation, I foreseen the problem with the fire department. I am not the fire department. I'm the building department. But our job here is to protect the interests of the public. I think I did. All right? By trying to save you the cost of sprinklers. All right? Which would be outrageous, right?
Yes.
Okay, and probably to kill your project.
Yeah, they came out and gave us some quotes.
So what we're trying to do is look at everything in detail and provide you with the best information we can. All right?
Okay, so if we redid this plan and showed the location of the septic tank and where it connects to the existing building.
Mm-hmm. And leach line, where you're going to show the lines.
Leach line, okay.
And then if we come up,
and with the 10-foot separation.
Yeah, and if we come up with the idea that we can use a septic tank, you're going to have to show, like I said, 100% expansion in case your system fails.
Okay.
All right? It's a precautionary. And then if you want to oversize, then we're going to probably require a percolation test to see if the soil is accepting Go ahead.
I just wanted to ask, would it be best if we were to sort out internally the issue about connection prior to redrafting and getting that submitted?
Yes, I think we would. But in all fairness, you know, I understand your position totally. And I only want to offer you a solid answer, but I cannot answer you, give you a solid answer if I don't have all the information.
I get it. So we can get all that information to you.
Okay,
we'll separate the building, and we just ask that you please consider allowing us not to connect with the sewer and let us expand the, because we have lots of land here.
Yeah, I will look at every consideration the code offers us, but we're governed by the code.
I just recommend that you meet with us outside this forum, because it's obvious that what was given to us and the research is to, we need to go ahead and look at what you can do. And it's not only our city, it's also the county. You involve the county when you're doing septic, so there's a lot of mitigating issues and factors that we have to look at. So it's not as simple as just putting up the modulars.
We thought this was going to be
so
simple.
It's not. And it's very overwhelming for somebody.
Tell you all the stuff I've learned.
We have guidelines also.
You know, I appreciate you coming back with the questions, and I do appreciate you guys' patience. Obviously, I had to hire Terry on behalf of the church for this project because, you know, like I said, I know the kids and I know the church, but I need help figuring this out. I think we've got a lot of work to do.
The thing was that I'm doing a hospital right now. I'm doing a skilled nursing. I got a lot of large projects. I'm doing this kind of for friends.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But when I first met with this young man, nice young man that he is, we went over it, and like he just said, we can make this very simple without seeing, could we do it within their budget? And when we first sat down, it looked like we could. Things have changed. But we went into this after my initial meeting with Travis thinking this could be, he said you can just do a drawing like this, not have to hire an architect, and we could work together as a team and do it very simply to try and keep within the budget of the church. So that's why we came this way, because our initial guidance was in a very simple, that would be very little that we would have to do. And so I apologize for that, because I do a lot larger project, a lot more intense.
Yeah.
Like I'm meeting at 3 o'clock with the planning director down in City of Chula Vista over hospital. So this is the kind of stuff I do. But
so
it's
then,
just
so
in this.
So then from here, you know, you can get the appropriate contact information. Travis can provide that to you.
I will forward that.
And then we could you could have your follow-up meetings with the individual departments and divisions.
Okay.
And, you know, we've got 2 weeks of the next meeting. I'll ask the group. You know, because today is a distribution day for the items for the next meeting on the 28th, we give the each department a couple weeks or thereabouts to review the projects that are on the next agenda, and so we want to make sure that is the group comfortable in adding it to the next agenda, or do we want we could always pull it.
What's the latest agenda? We can come to DRC and still get to the planning commission.
For February, it would be the next meeting. The meeting after that is the 11th, and that's the day of staff distribution for staff reports. So that would be too late.
What's the gentleman's name? I'm sorry. Terry.
Terry, yes.
How soon can you get us the additional information?
Well, the information that I'm understanding you want right now is you want the location of the septic tank, the leach line, where it connects to the existing buildings, and the separation of the buildings. We could probably get that very quickly, could we not?
By tomorrow. Mm-hmm.
And we'd redo them on these plans, and then we'd just PDF them over to Travis.
It sounds like we could potentially have
because,
it by Monday.
Because the septic issue, just, and it sounds like you already know that, but the septic issue is not a city, county, or state function. It's a state water quality control board.
Okay.
They generally refuse septic tanks additions, just so you know that.
We'll say that again?
Generally, additional septic tanks for any kind of commercial use is refused.
Yeah.
It's a matter of going to the state board. So
wow.
It's not just some regional local comment. They don't like additional septic tanks. And I don't know what your system is capable of.
But we'll get as much information as we can in the next day or so. We'll revise this drawing with that information. We'll send the PDF to Travis, and then I appreciate that Travis get back to me.
Yes.
Whatever our next step is with you and in land development, and I appreciate as soon as possible what our next steps are. And we need to see if this is even feasible, depending on what you guys tell us. So that's why we'd like to get information back as quickly from you. We'll get this as soon as possible, and if you could get back through
as soon as we get
here,
this, then we'll set up a meeting.
So So if you would pull it all together, so I don't need to bother all these nice people separately.
Yeah, I'll give you their info, but we'll set up something once we get that addition.
But once I have a plan of action, then I'll contact each of you directly. Okay.
So we don't have to continue this item to a date specific because we post the agendas prior to these meetings next week probably.
We're posting next Thursday.
Is there any way to get on the next one? So hopefully we can get some feedback away.
We post next Thursday.
Okay.
That means that we pretty much have to have a green light for the different departments. What we'd like to avoid is, I mean, we could condition a project all day long. Right, and everyone says, yeah, okay, well, you know, fine, because they're anxious to get their approval. Goes to the planning commission. Let's say the planning commission approves it, and then when you go to your building permits and start doing all your construction documents, you find all these details, and then now you find out that, you know, it blows the budget on the, you know, or it's not, doesn't turn out the way that you thought it was going to be, and then we end up back at square one. You come back to us asking for some relief for this and that, and then we'd have to go back to the planning commission and have them reconsider it. And so from my position, it's easier to iron out as much as you can ahead of time so you don't have to make changes later on. So that's kind of what the purpose was. We understand that you're anxious to move forward, and we do want to accommodate you in that sense. And kind of what happened today is kind of what I was expecting, that there would be some input, valuable input, I think, that's useful for you. And then at that point, you could decide how, you know, what you can provide us, what you can, you can't do, and then we could have those discussions, you know, internally. But, you know, I would suggest that, that we put it on the 14th, or the 28th, I'm sorry.
Can I just add a note as far as the schedule? Next week, we really only have 2 days to review this, to get it on the schedule for Thursday. Monday is a holiday, and we're not here. So we have the 19th and 20th to make sure that this is okay to post on the agenda for the
20th. Will that work then?
Next week is a tight week. So just so you know how the departments will function as far as the schedule.
Okay, so I appreciate everything you just said, Oliver, I get that. And you guys, you and Travis have been wonderful. So we're going to get this to you as soon as possible, okay. The changes that we have, and then I will expect to hear back from you and Travis what our next step is.
Okay. Yes.
Okay. Great. Thank you very much for your time.
You're welcome.
I got beat up. No action.
No action. I can hold on to it.
But do you want to?
We'll take one. And then it'll still be. It's going to evolve. It's still from here. No, as soon as you get me those plans, I'll sit down with them. We'll set up and figure out how to get something. Okay. We're going to try to get this one. That's quickly.
Thank you. Everyone okay? Anyone need a breather, stretch their legs or anything? We okay? Charging forward? Item number 6, conditional use permit 1517. Chantal, would you kindly provide?
Conditional use permit 1517 is a request to allow the renovation of an existing 6,832 square foot commercial building in order to establish and operate a charter school. On a site that is approximately 0.68 acres, located in the commercial general CG1 zone at 1148 East Highland Avenue. Program is Options for Youth, and the project would be categorically exempt from CEQA pursuant to Section 15.332 for infill development projects. Staff's recommendation is to move the categorical exemption and project to the Planning Commission of February 17th.
Thank you. Laura, would you like to start?
Go ahead.
All right, my name is Mike Sabal, and I'm with Building Safety, and I want to thank you
I have one question to start. Do you have an elevator or?
No, we currently just have stairs, but we are aware that if we have to put an elevator in, we're
you are looking into that?
We can. If it's required by the city to do that, then that's not a problem. We can definitely add that to our plans.
It may be based on the occupancy and how many classrooms you have, how many students you project, and at the present, not in the future, so we'll only deal with that.
Okay.
So we are going to look into that.
Would it make a difference if the second floor mezzanine area is used for storage only?
No, a mezzanine area is a mezzanine area, and then when you get into a mezzanine area, I don't know if the fire department has looked into it. Every mezzanine has to be sprinkled underneath, all right, in use. So it's a different issue.
I believe that was their recommendation.
Yeah, yeah. Sprinkled, sure.
I think we're aware of that. It was just the use of an elevator if there would be, virtually no occupancy.
That's what I said. What you have to do is address it as present, not in the future. So if your enrollment is down, you're going to address it at that point, right? Not only the first floor. That's it's how you're going to address it and how you perceive the progression of the school. Okay, so that's how you would have to look at it in a building perspective, not any other planning or anything. So I think right now, to be safe, I would contact the fire department and work with them hand in hand on this. And as you heard before, the planning, the building and the fire department are separate submittals. So but we work hand in hand and we'll communicate.
Yeah, we'll have them at separate
submittals. Okay, yeah. And if you have any problem with the building, I'll be more glad to give you some. And what I want you to do is, I have something here for you. Look into chapter 4, that will give you the California Building Code. That will give you all the answers for the special use requirements that you're looking for. And also, you'll be looking into the mezzanine situation, and it will explain in thorough what the fire department is describing.
Okay.
But I wish you all the luck and success.
Thank you.
Tracy.
So you currently have a single bin refuse enclosure?
Yes.
So you'll need to bring it to standard, which is, I attached the standard for you, 508-8x15. I don't know if it's possible for you to lengthen your enclosure and widen it where you currently have it to bring it to standard, or if you'll need to submit a new refuse enclosure location for review. Work with Chantal.
Okay.
You'll work with land development to modify that refuse enclosure to meet ADA access. And then keep in mind Assembly Bill 341, mandatory commercial recycling.
Okay.
Thank you. Robert?
Will there be students here all day, standing an hour day after lunch?
They come in for 1.5 hour blocks, so they're not there all day.
Okay.
They usually come in once or twice a week for a 1.5 hour period.
Will there be any type of food service?
No.
So the food won't be trucked in and handed out at all?
Nothing.
Okay.
When I was in school, I had to go to school a lot longer than an hour.
Last century. Okay, I'm going to hand you a food service permit application. Just basically state that there will be no any type of cooking, any type of food service, not even catered. Just go ahead and put all that information on the app and get it back to me, not the city. And our information is on the back of the application at the time of our forms. Okay. That's it.
Michael?
The department, water department, currently serves water to this facility, so unless anything's changing, it's just standard requirements. Same with sewer capacity, unless anything's changing, the building footprint is itself increasing in size. We would take a look, but other than that.
Okay. Perfect. Thank you.
Not sure how far we're going to be able to ask of items on it because it's an existing building, but definitely I know that Laura's going to go over this for the ADA at the driveways. The driveways will need to be replaced because they do not meet the ADA at this location at this time. It might even help you out to actually move them a little bit so that you can actually have a better fitment to your parking lot itself. Same thing, just make sure that we have a 4-foot bypass around the existing items. If there's anything out there,
power pole and that sort of thing. Again, I don't know what the trigger is for us to start going for full improvements. I don't think this one meets it, if I'm going to correct you, Laura, do you know?
Yeah.
No? Okay. And that's pretty much all I have.
Okay.
Fernando?
Yeah. Due to the change of use of the property, like for you to fill out the scope of study form to determine to what extent the traffic impact study.
Okay. So filling out this form will basically tell us if we need to have a traffic study done or not? Okay.
Most likely you won't trigger, but
no problem. It's typical for our use, yeah.
Thank you. Gary?
Mm-hmm.
Laura?
Okay, looking at, I just want to go interior-wise. I couldn't access your property, so we kind of Googled it. And it looks like your freestanding light poles, they're just standing, and there's no protection around them.
Okay.
So what I want to make sure is that the light poles are protected with some sort of curving so that you don't damage them and hit them. The site is existing. You do not trigger off-site street improvements. You do not meet that threshold. But your drive approaches are not ADA compliant, and those will have to be updated and brought to compliancy. Also, on your sidewalk, you do have it's cracked and it needs to be replaced. So anything that's cracked or damaged, just go ahead and replace it until it's safe, because that is a safety issue.
Okay.
When you do, just remind you on Newport, when you do upgrade your drive approach to make it ADA compliant, you do have a guy wire that's in its, you know, in its place, so that has to be moved. So it's going to interfere with you improving that. And then, so just go ahead and then also, the way it looks, your trash enclosure does not look like it is our standard 508.
Yeah, we'll most likely have to expand it as it was mentioned.
Yeah. So you might think about rotating it 90 degrees.
We were just talking about that, because
yeah,
I don't think that's
going to
be accessible.
At.
So that's perfectly fine. If we need to move it and then submit plans for that approval, that's not a problem.
Yeah, so you go ahead and do that.
Okay.
It's pretty just straightforward.
Basic stuff.
Basic stuff. You're lucky.
Do you have any questions of our representatives here?
Oh, you know what I forgot? Sorry. Just go ahead and dedicate on the corner of Newport and Highland that dedication for the handicap ramp. But it is conditioned.
Do you have any questions?
No, I think the questions that I have was about the fire sprinklers, but that's the fire department. For signage, is that something that I would go through with you just to see what is acceptable, what is not acceptable?
Yeah, you can just
monument.
Email me.
Okay.
So yeah. And that would be a separate signal.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you.
Thank
you so much.
Planning Division, we're recommending that this item be moved to the Planning Commission. May I have a motion, please?
So moved.
Certainly.
Unless there's any opposition, well, congratulations, and we'll see you in a month, I guess.
Thank you.
So you'll be moving to the January 17th, so that's what that is.
Those three modules.
Ready, guys?
Ready,
I think so. We're ready. Let's do it.
Hour and a half.
I don't know that the 8 hours
helped
it.
Good morning. I'm J.P. Darling, the architect.
Bonneman Associates.
He's a civil engineer.
Next item is conditional use permit 1519. Chantal.
Okay. Conditional use permit 1519 is a request to
allow development, establishment, and operation of a new performing arts center, administrative building, and some various gymnasium pool buildings on a site currently containing approximately 29.33 acres. Staff has determined that the project would be categorically exempt from CEQA pursuant to Section 15.314 for minor additions to schools. The project is located at 2772 Sterling Avenue in the public facility zone, and staff's recommendation is to move the project and the categorical exemption to the next Planning Commission meeting on February 17th.
Thank you. Laura?
Hi, Ed.
Hi, Laura.
I went over a little bit the project with JT. So, and I did let JT know that you're required to underground your utilities and rehab the streets on Sterling and Dave, set a line over. And I went ahead and I spoke to him and I gave him my recommendation how to handle it. So what I did is I went ahead and, since this is a phase project, I'm going to condition you for each phase. So it looks like the performing arts is going to be in phase one. So everything on Sterling is going to be being part. You already submitted your WQMP, and you're going to do the dispersion, and that's fine with me. And just go ahead and you already gave me this, so you'll submit your final at that time. So on Sterling, besides rehabbing and undergrounding your utilities, the driver purchase will be required to be ADA compliant also.
That's fine.
And then all your sidewalks that are cracked and damaged need to be replaced.
That's fine.
Okay. Then on phase two for, or would that be phase four, right?
I'm sorry?
Phase four for the... phase three on your date, which you're going to go ahead for the pool and everything.
That's correct. That's okay. The last phase.
Yeah. On that one, besides your driver purchase needing to be ADA compliant, I don't see a path of travel, so you want to go ahead and when you get a little bit closer in your construction drawings, just go ahead and put those in. Let me see. But other than that, I kind of went over extensively with JT and then installing the streetlights too. And that will be required on phase three. So, anyway, I'm going to give you the conditions, and they are broken down into phasing. And so,
I don't know if I want those.
Sorry, I tried to go over it really lightly, but it looks like a fantastic project. Beautiful.
So, talk about the street first. So, well, let's talk about the undergrounding first. So on the west side of Sterling, so this is Aquinas High School. It's been there for 60 years.
Mm-hmm.
So it's got multiple buildings, and it's had multiple permits throughout the year. And it has done its fair share of improvements through the years.
Yes.
So on the poles on Sterling, they're telephone poles.
Mm-hmm.
And then on the east side are the transmission lines, the power lines, the big transmission, they're really big transmission lines. So on our side, if we were to underground it, it would be to underground the telephone lines, and they're either AT&T or Verizon, they're probably Verizon. And then they've got a couple of drops across the street. So we would have to probably come down from the east side, micro tunnel under... underground all the telephone lines on our street, but then you still are left with great big power lines on the east side of the street. So undergrounding our side and leaving the massive transmission side, it doesn't make a lot of sense to me. So,
and that, well, I understand that, so, and I agree with that, and I spoke to JT about that. That is something that I...
understood. Planning Commission, we're going to appeal
exactly.
The Planning Commission and hopefully try to get
and
that.
And explain the logic on that one.
Yeah,
so.
It doesn't, it, you know, it just is what it is.
You can underground those too.
Underground the ones on the other side. That is such a good idea, Gary.
There's always other options.
So we'll talk to Planning Commission about that. On the grind and overlay, are, you know, that's fine, but it seems like the school has already spent a whole lot of money putting the streets in to begin with, and now for them to go in and do the maintenance, it should probably be on the capital improvement schedule, then I don't, you know, that's another one that will probably...
And I agree with that. You do, one of the things that Travis is going to speak to you is your line of sight issue. There is a line of sight. He does want a line of sight study for that. And the road, half of the road is owned by the county and then half with the city. So there is some complexity to that. So, like I said, I would speak to the Planning Commission on that.
Okay. All right. We'll look at the conditions.
Yeah, look at the conditions. Whatever you see that you do reject, go ahead and you know what to do.
So,
I have a question. I'm with the applicant. I just didn't get a seat over there. Is the city, does it have a building code for the utility, the telephone line? Or
no, it's under our development code 19.20. I think it's section 18, which there's a certain threshold that you meet. It's 2,500 square feet of construction. So once you exceed that, then you're required to do certain improvements. And that's including undergrounding. When you, on some of the undergrounding, some of the utilities are 33 kV or more, it's impossible for you to do that. So you are exempt from that. So that is just basically a trigger. With Aquinas High School, it is an established school. It has been for a while, and they have done improvements. So you have to look at it logically. Do you want to penalize a high school for improving the school and weigh this heavy cost on it? Or do you just, you know, and you know usually private schools don't have the money to facilitate that kind of improvement. So, but we are, you know, with the city, we have our thresholds and our development code requirements that we need mitigated. If you're going to go ahead and do this, it's basically, you know, handed out to everybody. So then from there, if it's not going to work for you, if you have issues, whatever, you go even forward to the Planning Commission and you state your case and your reasoning on your issue. But as far as the development code, that is required in our development code.
So it is somewhat discretionary. It must be discussed with the Planning Commission.
I'm not able to waive that.
No, I understand.
But, and then also on your conditions, I went ahead and I put the municipal codes that also are applicable to your conditions. So. Okay, so you have everything there.
Gary?
No additional besides the ones on the conditions.
The line of sight study.
The line of sight.
And what is that?
The line of sight coming out of those north parking lots, I mean, we can, there's already existing wall, existing fence, mature landscaping, so that's going to be a very tough one for me to do anything on the line of sight to improve the line of sight. Because I've got Sterling, what's the speed on Sterling? 45 or something like that, coming down the street. Right now, they currently have it. We've already marked it. It's right turn only. So there is no left turn out of either of those parking lots. It's only right turn out.
Now, is there any signage?
Yes.
There is signage?
Yeah, so if you're leaving, the way that north parking lot is, it's one way in, one way out. Mm-hmm. And that's the way the drop-off is. Mm-hmm. And so when you leave, there's a right turn only sign, so you can only... supposed to be.
How about going south? So there's some indication that so when they do
enter.
Yeah,
there's only the north driveway is in only, the south one is out only.
Okay.
And that's marked. But apparently somebody last night took a sledgehammer and started beating up one of the walls on it. You know, it's always something.
Okay.
Laura took care of the majority of them. I'm not sure if the study that's being turned into Hernando for the traffic is going to trigger the widening of that corner for this traffic signal and stuff. Again, normally the triggers for
doing any improvements starts triggering a whole bunch of stuff, in which case our standard 35-foot radius in that corner right now does not exist with that.
Oh, for so Dayton, Sterling. Yeah,
Sterling and Dayton. It's questionable on that one. Again, I'm going to leave it up to Hernando because his study that he's going to be having for the traffic may warrant or not warrant it. But there is a trigger there, and yes, that would be one that would be required of that.
That'd be too bad. I mean, because really the numbers of students there have actually decreased from, you know, and so the amount of traffic from that school's generating is a lot less than it was in the, you know, late 70s.
You're building so much onto it.
I know. Yeah.
So, yeah, but other than that, she had mentioned the ADA, the driveways. Right now you have an asphalt driveway that would have to be brought up to a city standard right there at that corner. Normally would not allow it. It's an existing situation, so that's another one that we're going to have to look at.
So some of those, yeah, that's interesting. I mean, because, again, the school is 60 years old, and that's how, that was their main access on day, and now that's the teacher's parking and
maybe so the only entrance or exit to that location. So those are things we're going to have to look at, yeah, and understand that we may not be able to do that. Again, for a full new project, that, yeah, would not be allowed.
I mean, that's the problem with doing on such a big site. I mean, you start looking at some of these little, I mean, you don't even look at, you've got so much on there that's already been improved, especially if we're doing our work in two smaller locations.
That's why it's a discretionary action. I mean, yeah, we've got to go by the letter of the code.
No, I understand.
Yeah, so, I mean, we understand your concerns. Yeah. It's up to the Planning Commission to make that, have determined that decision, whether it's warranted or not.
Got it. Okay.
Michael?
The project's outside the department water service area. Sewer capacity is still required. And I would ask the city building for assistance to confirm sewer capacity is paid prior to, since there's not going to be any water being issued.
Yeah.
So, other than that, standard condition, but just sewer capacity.
Okay.
Robert? Will there be any construction or modification to any existing kitchens? Will a new kitchen and cafeteria be built as well?
No.
Would it be any additions or modifications to any classrooms that include any type of clay or glass?
No.
Okay. I will hand you two applications, one for food, one for industrial purposes. Just state that on the applications and submit it to us. That's it.
Gracie?
The site has an existing large refuse enclosure housing all of the dumpsters, which works as far as service. You'll just want to work with land development regarding ADA access.
Okay. I put together a list for you to go over as I got one comment. You guys are moving a lot. You just did the amphitheater, right?
Well, you know what's nice is that they had some people who are just wonderful blessings and who are alumni and who stayed, mm-hmm, in the area. Like the amphitheater was Scafidi. Yeah, he has a great story, and he went to Aquinas and, yes, and he became an attorney and he gave back. So that was the amphitheater, and this group did a great job. And thank you for helping us, yeah, with the amphitheater. It turned out great, and it's been a wonderful use for them. And this is just, it's another blessing of a group that wants to help out the school, and it helps out the city, and it just takes pressure off of our public school system. It gives people a chance to...
Here's the news for group that one just takes.
But Aquinas has been there a long time. It's served this area for a long time. There's a lot of good alumni, you know, they're still in the community and doing good things for the community, so...
Yes, I'm very impressed. And as you know, the building division will be there to help you,
yep,
assist you, and direct you,
yep,
in any way we can. As before, we met with you prior to that amphitheater, yep, and we sat down and looked at the obstacles. Looking forward to working with you again.
Good.
Thanks, Mike. On this project, When it gets to building and safety and improvement plans, will you keep them in-house where they go out?
It will look at the workload at that time.
Okay.
Okay. If the workload is outrageous, we will send them out. Okay. If it is needed, we will do it in-house. Okay. Right now, if you would submit today, they would be in-house.
Good. Okay. Good. Good.
Do you have any other questions?
To Mike's your last comment, what would it be an estimated time for that?
We estimate 10 days for the first season.
For turnaround? First turnaround.
Yeah, that's okay. Quick. That'd be the comments, all right? It depends. And I always tell people this because they always try to pin you on the time. The time is based on the quality of your plants.
Yeah, well, that makes sense. Entirely sensible.
Maybe 20 days then.
So it's based on quality.
Or over the counter, right?
Good answer. Good answer.
If there's any question, I'm going to intervene with our third party and you to discuss it. You know that.
Okay. That's fine. Unless there's any other questions, our recommendation is to move this item forward to the Planning Commission on the meeting of February 17th.
Second.
No opposition? We'll see you in a few weeks. Very good.
We were trying to free up. How many you got on the?
Four total would be great.
Oh, you guys can have this one too.
Oh, that's cool. Oh, that's
good. Thank you. Thank you. All right, good luck.
As always, it's a pleasure working with the staff.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Okay, next and last item, General Plan Amendment 1501, Development Code Amendment 1503, Subdivision 1503, and Development Permit Type P-1502, and Conditional Use Permit Number 1513. This is a request to allow the subdivision of the property about 11 acres to create two separate lots in order to accommodate the commercial center that would comprise of about 1.1 acres. Many of you know that this project's been around for a while. It's gone through a number of revisions. I'd like to extend my appreciation to the applicants and representatives there. I mean, Justin, you've been good with this. I know it's been a long road, and we're glad that we're here, kind of thing. So through our discussions, traffic analysis, and so forth, we were able to come up with one building with a drive-through. Our traffic mitigation includes some deceleration lanes along University and State Street to allow for a smoother transition and in and out of the site, and to alleviate some of the traffic. There has been a traffic analysis that was completed for that, and an initial study, mitigated negative declaration, has been prepared. Mitigation monitoring and reporting program has also been done. So we're here. I believe we've gone through a thorough analysis. So we're really moving forward here. I'd like to, if we could kind of start, go around the table here, start getting our conditions and move forward.
Okay, on your, you are located within the Landscape Maintenance District, LLMD 952 Zone 1. What you'll need to do, if you're going to do any modifications to your landscaping around the perimeter, just go ahead and submit a set of plans. Mm-hmm. And with the engineer's cost estimate to Rural Properties. So they'll go ahead and get that. Also, I want to make sure when you do submit your plans that all infrastructure that you have out in the street and is shown, an easement shown on your plans, because we know that there is a MWD line that is there. And so, and if you are going to be trenching out into the street, I don't know if you're going to go ahead and connect to the sewer. If it's a first lane, you'll be required to resurface and restripe the first lane to along the the length of your project side along the front edge. But if you extend to the second lane, you have to do full width along your length of your front edge, so you'll have to go in and do it, an overlaying and striping. On the traffic impact study, just submit an update just to reflect what the current conditions are. And that is it.
Gary, anything to add? Fernando, anything? Robert?
Shows on the plan that you're going to be doing a deceleration line and acceleration lane. There's currently an existing bike lane in there. How are you planning on putting that bike lane back? There may be a condition to actually widen that acceleration to maintain that existing bike lane there. Second part of that is that we had mentioned that it might be an MWD. I ran across another document. It's actually a California aqueduct that's in State Street. They do have requirements that have to have setbacks and stuff. We will ask both of those plans to make sure that you're aware of it and the contractors are aware of it, that any and all requirements they have that you're going to be doing during construction and or for the whole life of the project, that you follow their lines, their requirements also. The driveways and everything that I had seen on it and the ADA, it seems like everything is there. If the, I think Laura will have on her comments if there's anything damaged. We want to make sure that we're updating it so that we have ADA access along with the other kind of pathways right here.
So do you have a spec on the bike lane?
We're just going to use the MUTCD, so whatever they have for the existing type that's out there. My apologies, I can't remember the number of type. It's type 2 or type 3. I don't know what's actually out there.
Is it type 3?
Type 3, I'm not sure. Whatever's existing out there, we just want to maintain that. And we just want to make sure that it goes back so that we're there. Fortunately, right there at the beginning of the bike lane, it doesn't go any further from that, so there's a chance that we could change that, but we want to see how that's going to affect the bike lane that's existing at this point.
I think our traffic engineer outlined that originally in the way.
Yeah, I think it was accounted for.
Oh, yeah, I think it was.
Michael?
The parcel is going to stay one large parcel all the way to college, and we're just adding a bit. It's split now.
Yeah, we're going to split. Right now, it's kind of an open space area for the entire apartment complex that's there. So that point is going to be, you know, sectioned off into a new parcel.
Okay, and so the issue for us is somewhere here, there's a driveway.
Yes.
And
the existing one?
Yeah. An existing one. And there's a water service here that serves this portion, and that's against department policy. And so this either has to be relocated or there has to be some type of easement for the service to cross this parcel to the department. So
we've taken that into account. It's actually, there's a conceptual plan that shows it being relocated upstate.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so that and new service is just on a Rule 5 application, and then sewer capacity would be required for the new facility.
Perfect.
And that's really all I got.
Thank you.
Oliver.
Robert?
Do you have tenant for the project yet?
No.
So you don't have any idea what type of food service it would be?
Come on, GRB, you can tell us.
No, we really don't. I mean, probably some sort of coffee tenant and something else, but not sure yet.
Okay. I'm going to hand you a copy of our plan check procedures. I think I've handed them to you before,
yeah.
And also a food service permit.
Yeah.
Need to be completed and submitted to the water department, not the city. Information on the application will be used to determine any pretreatment requirements for the facility.
Your proposed refuse enclosure location is acceptable. You'll be constructing standard plan 508-8x15, which is verified with plan development that you're meeting ADA access for.
Well, it's a projected building, so all I can really say is that we
are in the code cycle of 2013, the California Building Code. If you have any type of interpretation of the code, please get a hold of me. I'm the acting building official, and I'll be glad to take the translation for you. Okay, and we look forward to seeing you move forward.
Thank you. Do you have any questions? I don't. We've answered a lot of questions over the.
Thank you all for your time.
Thank you.
I appreciate it.
You're welcome.
It's been a marathon.
There you go. There you go.
Well, our recommendation is to move to the Planning Commission the mitigated negative declaration and the conditional use permit subject to conditions of approval. And entertain a motion, please.
Second.
Thank you. Unless there's any opposition, we'll see you next week.
Thank you guys
very much.
Yeah. And with that, any other comments? 11:55. A motion to adjourn, please.
Hey, I'm already in Hawaii.
Have fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
The only one going next week.
Yeah.